Today we're going to have a very important class about the special job and purpose of the convert and the Baal Tshuva. Depends where you're coming from. Last week we asked a question, where is going to be the land of a convert? Because the land is separated to 12 tribes, and that's it. And when a convert comes, he has no part in the land. This was our question. And at the beginning of our parasha, Parashat Shlach, we're standing in a very, actually, exciting position. Basically, we already got the Torah, we're in the desert, and we're ready to enter the land, the Holy Land of Israel. This is where we're standing. But now, somehow, the people, somehow, we're looking to go back to Egypt all of the time. Something, you know, I have a friend that I'm trying to help these days with issues. And he tells me, you know, my wife, even when she's encouraging me, it's the intonation, how she says it, and it's... technical, she doesn't really mean it. I don't feel that she's really, and we're talking, and I'm telling him, what do you want from her? She is encouraging you. She's trying, she's doing her best. What do you want? But there is something inside of the person himself. It's also inside of women, of course. Don't misunderstand me. That is pulling us back. And to feel reasonable, we're looking for excuses and we're looking for reasons and we're looking for someone to blame. But what is it? What is that Egypt that that slavery that we wish to go back for? Why? What for? So to try to find an excuse and to find someone to blame, like we see that this is what happening at the end of that situation. The people are asking for spies that will go and search and look the land, if it's good or not, if it's appropriate, whatever. And the first verse of the second verse of the parasha, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, this is the first, Hashem said to Moshe. The second verse, Shlach lecha anashim v'yatur. Shlach is send, and lecha is to you. Something here is confusing. So our rabbis, our sages say that this is exactly what's going on here, that Hashem is telling Moshe, I don't want that thing to happen. But if you think that this is the right thing to do, so do it to your own opinion, to your own decision. And there is one commentator, Akli Yakar, that I love so much, that is saying an amazing, amazing thing. He's saying, Shlach lecha anashim, send to your own opinion those men. He's saying, I would prefer that you will send women. But if you say that it's better to send men, so send men. Because women, somehow, are more attached to the real energy and to the power of the land. And to really, I can tell you from my own private life, how much, like, my wife is saying, so where we're going to have our home? Where are we going to build it? Where is... She's... And I'm... Okay. I don't know yet. I really don't know. But she's into it so much. שלח לך אנשים ויתורו את ארץ כנען אשר אני נותן לבני ישראל. Continuing. So, if you have חומשים in front of you, you can see, but ויתורו, that word, ויתורו is basically that they're going to tour. It sounds also the same. To tour the land. But also, if you look at that word, it's exactly the letters of the name Yitro. Shlach lecha anashim ve Yitro. So first of all, that word lecha to you is reminding us the story about Avraham Avinu that was commanded lech lecha, go to yourself. The basic search to go is only to go to yourself. Lech lecha. And this is a rule in the Torah that every time that something is written lecha to you, it means to yourself. Check to yourself. Send to your own opinion in that meaning, but it's to yourself also, because this is the choice that you're making. Now, there are a lot of questions that I have about that parasha. Spies, to go somewhere, you need it to be a very small group. How can you send 12 spies?
Yeah.
And we see that they fail. And after 40 years, when Yehoshua is sending the spies and succeeding, you see that only two succeed. So why so many? And another question, why the most important? Why so important? Maybe they need to be the best scouts. Why not?
They also wanted just one from each tribe, right?
Yes, so this is the answer. The answer is that the people want someone that they
trust, right?
Trust in the meaning that is from my tribe. I won't trust someone from different tribe. They want someone that has, you know, at least a doctor or a professor, someone that is honorable, that we can trust his opinion because it's very important. And all of those small details are just telling us that something here is wrong. Now, a huge question is when they come back and they're starting to say all the bad things, at the beginning, at the start point, they're saying, good, it is a land of milk and honey, and it has a lot of bounty and whatever. But then they're starting to say, it's a land that is eating its citizens. How is it translated in the English? Swallows. Yes, yeah, swallows. What is it all about?
Your fear of moving on.
Exactly, the fear of moving on. Exactly. And how is Moshe dealing with that fear? Because he's beyond that. Moshe Rabbeinu knows about that concept of the land that is swallowing. What is it? What is it so special in the land of Israel? It was Canaan back then, but that land itself, the actual land, it's the rocks, it's the trees, the air is different. Something is different here. What is it?
Hashem?
What do you mean? Hashem is everywhere.
I know, but he's
strongly
present
here.
What is it about this land in particular?
Okay, so what? What with Hashem? Okay.
You feel that it's very spiritual, like the land itself.
Yes.
It's empty outside of Israel.
Yes. That emptiness.
Yeah.
That spiritual presence in the air that we breathe here is doing something to all of the imaginations that we have. Because we try to imagine, I'm this, I'm that. Like I said before, I'm a doctor, I'm a professor, I'm an important persona, whatever. This is this and that, my achievements. And you come here and you start breathing that air and you understand it, it's all imagination. It's all imagination. Basically, you're nothing. You're totally zero. And somehow, it revives us. Someone thinks, I'm this, I'm that, and somehow you understand that you're a complete zero. Okay, you did, you did. It's the presence of Hashem that we have here, like you said, that makes you understand that Hashem did it. That Hashem gave you the merit, Hashem did it through you. It's amazing. You can say Baruch Hashem for that, but not a lot more than that. Baruch Hashem. It's not me. It's not that I am so... Who gave you that wisdom? Who gave you that air to breathe? Who gave you that power? Who gave you that idea? Who gave you that creativity? It's not you. It's all things that Baruch Hashem you got. And this is the wisdom that the land has. It's written, Eretz Israel, Avirad Eretz Israel Machkim, the air, the land of Israel, makes you smarter. The air itself, you just breathe it and you become smarter. This is what it is. You become aware. You become aware. Now, I'm going to jump to a different place for more introduction, and then we'll try to tie all the story. Last week in the Parashat Baal Otcha, we heard how all of the tribes are organized around the Mishkan, and when it's time to start moving, the tribes of the east stand up first, they start walking, Shevet Dan at the end. We see all of the formation of the people, how it's happening in the desert, how they stand up, how they start traveling. Okay. And immediately after those verses, we see Moshe starting a conversation with Yitro. Yes, the convert. The one that was chosen, that the parasha of the giving of the Torah will be on his name. It's a serious thing. But then it's written, it's in chapter 10, Pasuk 29. There, his name is Chovav ben Reuel. It a lot of time happens in the Torah that one character has more than one name, because in each situation, the Torah wants to give you a different aspect of his character. Okay, so what is the meaning of the names Yitro? And what is the meaning of the name Chovav? Yitro comes from Yoter, once more. This is why he was searching and looking, and Midrashim say that Yitro is the one that tried all kind of idol worshipping, until he understood and he saw the light and he found the truth of the Torah, of the Creator, when he saw the people of Israel going out of Egypt. Okay, he wants more. And Chovav comes from Chaviv, pleasant, nice, sweet, encouraging. Someone that is Chaviv is the one that brings good atmosphere to a situation. Okay? אני מחבב את הדבר הזה. I like that thing. I like that person. Chaviv, Chovav. Okay, so this is the meaning of two names that Yitro has. Again, immediately after we see how the traveling is happening to the nation of Israel, we see the conversation starting between Moshe and the convert, and Chovav in that situation. And what are they talking about? Moshe Rabbeinu is telling him exactly the question that we had last week. I know that you're not going to have a land of your own when we come to the Holy Land. But I promise you that we're going to have such bounty that we're going to share with you, and we're going to give you a land. Don't worry. I want you to come with us. And he answers him, I'm going to my family. I'm going back to the land where I came from. For me, it's enough. I believe in Hashem. I found the truth. I'm not coming with you. And Moshe is continuing the talk and is almost begging to him, please come with us, don't leave us. You know that we're going to need to park in the we're going to stay in the desert, and we need you to be our eyes. We need you as a scout, be our eyes. And now when we begin our parasha and we see, Shlach lecha anashim ve'yaturu, like I said, Shlach lecha anashim ve'yitro. What's the connection between all of those scenes? Scenes in the meaning of a movie. You know, it's written in the holy books, Kashim gerim leYisrael kasapachat, that the converts are hard for the Israeli people, like a disease. Sapachat, it's a kind of a disease. So some interpret that in the meaning of, you know, after all, they're coming from where they're coming from, they're bringing their bad habits, they're bringing the cultural influence into our holy nation and whatever. Okay? But The other interpretation is that why are the converts hard to the people of Israel? Because the converts come with such a point of truth, and they come into the nation so strongly into holiness, that it's a shame for the Jewish people to look at us and look where they are. Okay? So one is for the good, one is for the bad. One is for the good to that one and to the bad to the other. And it raises the question, really, what is the purpose of a convert in the nation? And today that we see such strong secular movements in the world, like where I come from, and people are also making tshuva and become religious and get into the world of Torah, what is our job? What is our purpose? What is the need of the Torah to create that situation? The conclusion that I got to from all of that situation is that Moshe wants Yitro. What for? Moshe wants Yitro for that moment that the risk is going to hit. And what is that moment? Again, what is the calculation that Moshe has? I need to send 12 spies, and I need all of them to be very, very important. Okay. If I would send 12, you know, regular sellers from the market, they're already humble enough. But I'm going to send the important person from each tribe because the tribe needs someone that they can, you know, so to speak, trust on their opinion. Because it's important, he has a... Okay. When those important people are going to come and that needle is going to pop their balloon inside of the land of Israel, all of the imaginations are going to disappear. And they're going to realize that they're total zeros. What's going to happen? This is the danger. If they totally break and fall apart, or they might survive it somehow. How can we do that? So his blessing, his special student, his private helper, Yehoshua, giving him the letter Yud inside of his name, and he's blessing him, Hashem is with you, don't worry, and he's succeeding the mission. He's coming with good things to say on the land. And we have Kalev ben Yefuneh from the tribe of Yehuda that is going to Hebron to see our holy fathers, to pray on the graves and to get support. And he also succeeds in the mission. But we have 10 that didn't succeed. And this is why Moshe wants Yitro between of the spies. This is what I'm trying to say. Moshe wants Yitro to be a scout between all of those scouts. What for? To be the one that knows what is a change in life. That he didn't grow inside of that holiness. And he's so pure. And one day he's breaking to pieces and he doesn't know how to bring himself back. Someone that knows how to make a change in life. Someone that the search is a way of life for him. Someone that can encourage and to strengthen people around him. This is why it's the name Chovav at that situation, that Moshe is asking him to come with us. And we see that this is exactly what happened to the spies, to those scouts. They're coming and they say, we saw those giants in the land. V'nei be'enenu kechagavim, we felt like cockroaches. And this is why they saw us as well. Because this is the way it works. When you are negative to yourself, you bring negativity into your life. When you're lowering yourself, people step on you. This is the way it works. And they say it's a swallowing land, it can... Yes, exactly. So what is the difference between that Eretz Ochelet Yoshvea, that land that is swallows you, and Eretz Chalav Udvash, the land of milk and honey? It's a tricky point, because basically you need to nullify yourself. You need to bring yourself to that position that you know that you're zero. And at the same time, not to lower yourself in a meaning that people are going to come and step on you. Not to weaken yourself. To just understand that wherever you're holding and whatever achievements and whatever amazing thing that you've done and you're going to do in your life, it's all because Hashem is with you. And it's all a free gift from heaven. Not to claim for the honor to yourself. Not to bring yourself inside of that balloon of ego. Those spies were caught into the story of ego. And there are a lot of drashot and commentations about them. Some say that they knew that they are the heads of the tribes now. And where they're going to enter the land, there's going to be a king, and they're going to lose their honor. So this is why they didn't want it. Some say that they were so spiritual and so high, and they knew that if they're going to come into the land, they're going to need to start working the land, start growing the wheat. It's not going to be easy. It's like, it's not sitting in the Bet Midrash and learning Torah all day. Anyway, it's something that it's not meant for me. I'm too important for that. Wherever you look at it from, it's the story of ego. And the one that is caught into ego, whatever his actions are, and if he might look like a righteous man from outside, the one that is caught into ego is called an evil person. And this is the real measure. This is the real measure. A land of milk and honey. What is milk and honey? Milk and honey is showing that the land is so good that it's not that it's giving you only its fruits. It's also making so good herds and whatever to give you an amazing milk from the animals that live in it. That the flowers are so amazing that the bees make an amazing honey. The land is so amazing that it goes immediately to you and from the second degree, because you can eat that cow as well and whatever, if this is the way we live, and you can also drink an amazing milk and have an amazing honey. It's just so amazing. What is so amazing? It's amazing when you're really accepting yourself and your life in a non-ego state of mind. When you're able to meet your whatever zero-ness, if you can say that, and to accept it. And to bless Hashem for it. Because me, for myself, I'm a zero. And nothing is going to change that. Because I'm only a creature by a creator. So he's the one and the thing. And I'm the tool. And I might experience beautiful life. And I might do amazing things. I should do and I'm expected to do. And I'm commanded to do huge, huge things in my life. Again, it's not I'm zero. Oh, okay, so I'm nullifying myself. It's not that, like we said last week, to redefine and to understand difference between self-pity and self-mercy. When will I get to the amazing things that Hashem is making for me with all of the talents that Hashem gave me already? When I'm going to really achieve the goals and the things that I was sent for, that I was created for, and not self-pity, like, oh, they did this to me, and they're not listening to me, and this and that, and people don't respect me, and people this and people that. There are no people that are able to step on you if you're not looking at yourself as a cockroach. No one is able to step on you. No one is able to control your life. No one. No one is able to manipulate you. The only one that can do it is the Creator Himself, and He's giving you a free choice. If you think you need to send them, but it's for your own opinion, I'm sorry. I'm telling you, you don't need to. I promised you a land of milk and honey. If you're looking for a reason to go back to Egypt, you're going to find it. And if Hashem really, really loves you, He will not let you do that. So He will walk you in the desert for 40 years. Because once you got out of Egypt, there is no way back. You might want it, you might desire it, you might really, really look for that, like we said, confidence, that stable TV and beer life, but you're not going to enjoy it anymore. You're going to try to go back to Egypt, but it's too late. You're not going to enjoy it. This is what Rabbi Nachman of Breslov said. I'm cutting the hands and the legs of your sins. Meaning, it doesn't matter, you want to go back to the clubs, go back to the whatever. You're not going to enjoy it anymore. Go, try. You see, it's empty, like you said. You taste the one breath of the air of the land of Israel, and you understand how your life was so empty before, outside of it.
This country ate my life, seriously.
Yes.
It ate my life.
Exactly. And it's not a bad thing. If you let it eat you, you're going to start growing like a beautiful flower, like a beautiful plant. Let it eat you. Let it happen. Let it be. Just let it be. So at that dangerous point, when people are forced to humbleness, but because they're still caught into ego, they fall to the wrong commentations, at that point you need a convert. The convert and the Baalei Teshuva, exactly. Baalei Teshuva and converts in the same position in that aspect. This is when you need someone that was this week I met someone that he told me you can't imagine so rich I was when I was secular. I was going to hotels every weekend, all the clubs, women, parties, even the most expensive drugs, everything. I had the money for all of it, and I gave everything away for my tshuva.
Do you have to give everything away? Is it totally incompatible to be really wealthy and be religious?
Chas v'shalom. There were huge righteous men, and Moshe Rabbeinu is one of them, actually. That he was very, very, very rich. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's the honor of Hashem when his children are wealthy. It's not about that. There is an ideal of poverty in Judaism, and if you ask me, it's a part of the exile. It's not about that at all. What you need to give away is the pleasures that are only making yourself be self-centered. All of that you need to give away, for sure. Because the main reason for happiness and for success in relations, and it doesn't matter if the relations between you and your friend, between a husband and his wife, between a person and his God, it doesn't matter at all. The main aspect of success and the main reason for true happiness and spiritual pleasure is giving, is the giving itself. This is what I was trying to explain to my friend this week. No, but my wife, when she's this, when she's that, you're only looking for what you're able to receive from her, and it's never enough. And it's never going to change because you're not starting to give from yourself. Your pleasure is going to grow out of your own giving and stopping to wait to receive all the time. Because when you're not giving, you're not able even to receive. You're not able to receive. She is trying to strengthen you and you're not feeling that. She's trying to help you and to be nice and to be warm and to be kind, And you're not listening to that. Because you're not in a giving state of mind. You're not giving yourself an opportunity. You're empty from within. So you, even when people are trying to help you, you're denying that help. You're denying that support. You're denying that kindness. The power of the relationship and the pleasure is giving. And this is the most special and strong mission for us, Baale Tshuva and converts, to bring a new life and a new colors and new spirit into the world of Torah, and to understand that no one is able to step on us, no one is able to control our lives. And more than that, there are so many people in that world that needs our help, because we know how empty it is outside, because we know how lonely and frustrating and depressing it is outside. And when you have someone that is coming from a pure place, so to speak, but is falling, and all of the lackings and all of the fallings and all of the sins, the actual sins, it's all meant to bring the person to humbleness. It's all a part of the journey to humbleness. But if he's too arrogant, and not because it's his fault, not because it's him to blame for that arrogance, because he just doesn't know how to deal with that breaking that is going through now, and immediately he's caught into ego, immediately he's caught into that fear, that wishing to go back to Egypt like we began. You might be the one in that situation that can come and say the right words, because you know how it is to be far away, because you know how it is to yearn so much and to still need to have to wait. Because you know how it is to lose all hope and to keep going. And they don't. This is why Hashem made it that way. That before the end of times, the world of Torah is going to need that strengthening that is coming especially from outside. From a place that is open-minded, that can find new ways to strengthen, new connections between spiritual ways that are not the pure Judaism that we knew, but we can understand how Judaism was that always. It was never revealed. That's it. To be blessed in your life, to feel the blessing. To feel the blessing is to feel and to recognize the good that you have. Whatever your reality is, go to yourself. You have nowhere to go. You have nowhere to go. Only go to yourself. Only look for your inner peace. Only find the good in your life, the way it is. And wish for more. And remember that the one that gave you all of the blessing and all of the good that you have now is going to continue supporting you and giving you all of the good that you need, that you really need. If you ask me, I don't pray enough, but when I pray on that. That Hashem will not give me even 1 milligram more pleasure than I am able to receive without becoming self-centered. Because the spiritual holiness of learning Torah and of praying and living a religious life can make you the most evil person in the world, if your measure is how he's caught into ego or not. And this is the real measure, believe me. This is the real measure that can help you survive your marriage. This is the real measure that can educate your children. No, you're not allowed to talk to me like that. Huh? What? What do you want from your children? What do you want from your wife? And then a week later, coming, you know, very seriously, telling his wife, look, what happened last week that you were shouting at me? It felt very bad, and I'm asking you not to do that again. And she's asking him, what, can you remind me what happened? And actually, he doesn't remember it all. You don't even care. Stupid. Trying to educate others, and you don't even care, you don't remember what happened. To bring myself to a place. And if you ask me, what I say now shows that this is the test that Yitro failed, because he decided not to come with us. Chovav didn't come. He didn't come. He went back to his place. So probably he made other converts there, and he did amazing things and whatever, but to really bring myself to a place, to a position, okay, I'm coming in order to receive that holiness, I'm coming. It's life is very simple, but it's very frightening to confront that simpleness. It's very simple because you're a complete zero and you're surrounded by complete zeros. Okay? And why is it simple? Because the relations are very simple. You're coming in order to give, and you're coming in the understanding that you need help. I do what I can to help, but I'm dependent on your help as well. We're all dependent on each other. There's no other way. If there is someone that thinks that he is going to be a philanthrop, you say? Yes, I'm the one that's giving. You need a friend. You still need a lot. To be that one that is really Chovav. Ben Reuel. Reuel is like a friend of God. Rea is Chaver, Reuel, a friend of God. It can also be the one that is led by God. Roe is a shepherd. Like that the God is his shepherd. But it's also a friend of God. How can you be a friend of God? How do you make friends? If you see someone helping your son, you become his friend. It's written, Avraham Oavi, the one that really loves me is Avraham. Why? This is what God says. This is what Hashem says. Because he makes people love me. How can you know someone loves you if you make people love you? If he really appreciates you, if he really cares. And this is the light that you are sent to bring into the world of Torah as converts, Bezrat Hashem, in the future. But already today, to really care, to really, really care, to be the one that making a good atmosphere everywhere you go. So good luck.